This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Afternoons on the Score.
I don't know who I am as an offensive player just yet, but the goal stays the same, and that's just getting on base and being able to make stuff happen.
Is PCA a star?
Look him over! Look him over!
So far, if you look at the standings for wins above replacement in baseball, he is now third. In baseball.
Aaron Judge, number one?
Oh, by a mile.
Having a ridiculous start.
The stuff that Aaron Judge is doing this season is incredible. And unfortunately for him, he's doing it on a team that I don't think is very good.
Oh, man, I hope they're not.
I know. You have a bet?
I do have a Red Sox more wins than the Yankees bet, which is definitely part wish casting.
One game off
yeah.
Right now.
So we got a chance. The who's number two? Is Corbin Carroll up there? I know he was top five in terms of best players in baseball. So you got Judge one, PCA three, ahead of Kyle Tucker now.
Kyle Tucker, when I looked, was nine.
Okay.
Let me look here.
But, I mean, the stuff the PCA was doing over the weekend was outrageous. The two homers on Friday.
Oh, Pete Alonso.
Oh, Pete Alonso. Here they come.
So here's the top 10, okay? Aaron Judge at 3.4 WAR. It is Cinco de Mayo, y'all. And he already has a 3.4 WAR. Then Pete Alonso at 2.3, Pete Crow Armstrong at 2.1, Fernando Tatis Jr. at 2.1.
Man.
Geraldo Perdomo at 2.1.
And folks, that is a shortstop on the D-backs when they've got like four other dudes you think of first. Wow.
Corbin Carroll at 2.0.
That's one of the dudes. To your point. That's one of the dudes you think of before Geraldo Perdomo.
Bobby Witt Jr. at 1.9.
Outrageously good.
The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, 1.9.
Leading the league in home runs at 12.
Hunter Brown at 9. So Kyle Tucker is now 10 in baseball.
Man.
And you start looking down the list, and then once you get into the teens,
there's some
players. Shohei Ohtani is 14th.
He's good.
Carson Kelly is 16th.
Dude, and Carson Kelly was on hit and run yesterday, just a delight. But it's Pete Crow Armstrong's moment.
Yes.
And he's fun, and he's a flashpoint. Pat Murphy's a very funny dude, the Brewers manager. He in praising Pete Crow Armstrong, he called him something that we might have to appropriate here. Yeah, yes, sir.
With the blue hair.
Yep.
They can put the kid with blue hair on the mound. He can do anything else right now. Superhuman. Does he still have blue hair?
I don't think so. They showed him with his blonde hair now.
Well, I like that kid, man. He's a good player.
He likes the kid, but he's the kid with the blue hair. Is that how Murphy's...
Blue-haired kid.
Yeah, they're going to call him that like forever? It's kind of like the one-armed man.
I don't know. I mean, he's gone back to his platinum look, right? He's back to his Stan look underneath his helmet these days.
Oh, God, so funny.
Did you hear what he called Kyle Tucker?
Did not hear this.
The new kid with the huge feet.
Kyle Tucker.
What is he, Rex Ryan? What is he looking at that man's feet for?
That's a funny dude, Pat Murphy.
Yeah, man. He is. Really, really great manager.
Oh, he is. He is. Craig Council's guy at ND.
But the like new kid with the huge feet.
You know what it's you know what that sounds like to me?
Yeah.
That's old coach speak. That's I've coached baseball or I've coached football or I've coached basketball for forever. I can't remember anyone's name. I know that guy by what he does or what his number is. That's, whenever we talk to coaches when I was covering the Bears, that 54 guy,
sure.
He's really good. You mean Brian Urlacher?
Is there also a touch of cutting PCA down to size?
I don't think so. I honestly believe that's more of, I can't remember his name. It's hyphenated or something. So I'm just going to go with the guy with the blue hair.
Because he does say he loves him. Like, I like that kid.
Yeah.
Blue-haired kid.
Yeah.
He's a blue-haired kid.
It's an interesting dynamic because this has been written about a couple times now over the weekend. A lot of these quotes kind of coalesced on Friday and Saturday about Pete being himself and being allowed to be himself. And I want to get your thoughts, Lawrence, as a catcher, as a ball player.
Move, pitcher!
Uh-huh. As a teammate, and as an observer of locker room and clubhouse culture through the years, on the way that everybody's now talking about this. Like, are you worried that Pete Crow Armstrong is anything in particular? Like, in this great moment, are you worried about Pete? And thought this was a really interesting answer from Craig Council on Saturday night about PCA and being himself.
Along the lines of some savage question, everybody wants a piece of him, interviews, all that stuff. Do you guys talk to him daily? Like, how do you keep him just focused or just let him go and just let him be himself? What's that balance like?
I think, first and foremost, you have to let him be himself. That's absolutely. And then, I think we have a really good group out there to remind him of, when maybe he's not being himself. And that's important. And I think we have a bunch of guys that care about that and are invested in that. And I know Pete appreciates that. Because it can get hard for sure. But he's got a great group around him from that perspective. And I think they've been a huge part of his development.
So thought that was fascinating because we know what he is. He's explosive emotionally. He's all over the place. He's having fun. He gets really down. The emotions are very close to the surface with that guy. He'll throw a bat if he does stuff or whatever. And
he'll celebrate.
Yeah, as he did, like making the money sign to the bullpen because Daniel Palencia had him picked guy.
So this has been an awakening that's happened with me over the last year. Like Dan and I would talk a lot about, like I felt like he had a little too much dip on his chip for a while. And then,
I remember you saying that.
And then I was like, I feel like I'm watching someone who is clearly influenced by other stuff. And you find out that there are so many layers to him as a player. Like the concept of him respecting the game, I think, and not everyone, like similar to this job, like not everyone has to be like me. Like if I were a Cub, I'd be Ian Happ,
Super serious,
yeah.
Up in your own head. Although I've seen you on a softball field exhibiting some, come on guys, come together and rallying troops a little bit more than I see Ian.
I can do that, but that type of player.
Yeah.
Nico type player.
Sure.
Where, there's joy and there's fun in it, but you need that. You need guys like PCA that are having fun. And luckily for him, the fun is matching the output. And it's interesting to me that we didn't see him until that trip to L.A. Like, that's a good – you have pinpointed that as a demarcation line.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't seeing him have the fun on the field. Off the field, yes. And we chronicled, like, the trip to Japan. He was, I thought, their best ambassador outside of Shota in Japan.
And he's beloved. Like, he was getting PCA chants in Japan. He's getting PCA chants in Milwaukee the other night.
Yeah, I thought that was super cool. Mm-hmm. That it's Wrigley North now. Like, Cubs fans are totally fine with going up there and snatching tickets and making that place theirs. But seeing that he has just kind of dove into all of this stuff, it's fun. When all of it matches up, I'm not that worried about it, honestly.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, like, you got a big media contingent now that's realizing what's happening. And when we talk to Cliff Floyd in a little while, we can ask him, like, did he have a teammate that turned into a superstar before his eyes? And what are the things that happened?
Vlad, right? Wouldn't that be a good candidate for Cliff?
Probably. We can look at his teams and discuss it. But the way the council brings it up, and there were several other players who kind of spoke to this over the weekend, they want him to be himself, and it's their job to catch him if he's not.
Oh, man, there's some good candidates for Cliff.
Larry Walker, right?
Larry Walker, Vlad, Miguel Cabrera probably, right?
Was
in the organization when he was a Marlin.
That's interesting. That's
probably
interesting,
right?
Maybe. Like, yeah, that'd be a good one because that'd be a young guy. But, like, the way the council says it, keep being himself, and he's got a good group to catch him if he's not being himself. So if you see him tighten up, if you're Nico, right, or you're Justin Turner, or you're Carson Kelly, and you see him tighten up, you know, and not laughing, not being emotional, that's your job as a teammate to make sure that the moment isn't too much for him. Obviously, you want to make sure that he doesn't think his bleep doesn't stink and he's that guy who gets too big like that. But Pete actually is like that. So you want to make sure he stays like that and you mess with him. And I can tell you, this team is full of dudes who know each other and will be on the lookout for, exactly as Council putting it, if Pete starts to not be himself, they'll be like, hey, man, come on. I know you. Like, and mess around with him and get him laughing, get him looser.
But the point I was making earlier when I made the comp to Ian, look around their diamond. There's Ian. There's Nico. There's Dansby. They got some very serious dudes on that team. And so to have someone, and Kyle Tucker kind of also strikes me.
Oh, big time.
As being very serious.
He's gravitated to Ian for a reason.
The new kid with the huge feet.
So when you're putting, not that you can just kind of do this experiment and say, well, we need one of these guys and let's promote someone and bring someone in who doesn't have the actual on-field credentials. But it's nice that when you do have someone like that, there is someone that can take away some of the pressure on the other guys by him being a magnet for attention. What's cool, and the council had brought it up this weekend too, Pete Crow Armstrong is the type of player that you want to see play. As baseball strives to get younger and more exciting, yes, the Ian Happs, the steady 3.5-4 war guys are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get a guy that potentially can be a 7-WAR player, and that's the territory that we're in right now with PCA, is if he's already off to this start and he's above 2 in F-WAR already, you're talking about someone who has potential, and we need to see it through. It has to happen, but has the potential to be a star, and that's what the Cubs have been missing. And now you kind
of
know,
them.
Right? You kind of know what it looks like now because there's Kyle Tucker.
So I wonder, you know, what that looks like when it's time to make sure that PCA goes back to being himself. Had Carson Kelly on Hit and Run yesterday, and Carson was really, really fun. And I had read the thing about PCA from Kenny Rosenthal the other day. So gave some dirt to Carson Kelly about Pete, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's using it. But first, we talked about Carson Kelly's Chicago roots in terms of his birthing and his childhood.
I was born in Arlington Heights. My parents grew up in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, and then I was born in Arlington Heights, and then 6 months after I was born, my dad took a job in San Diego with TaylorMade. So we moved to San Diego for a few years, and then when I was 5, we moved to Oregon, and then Oregon is where I was pretty much raised.
Okay, so you probably don't have a lot of memories from those first 6 months. Probably not, right?
Not a lot. Probably not. Not that I'm aware of. But so my uncle still lives in Chicago. We've got family. My wife's side has some family in Chicago. We would always come back, I think, once a year to see my grandmother in Chicago. So, like, I mean, there are definitely memories of coming back to Chicago as a kid.
That's awesome. And grew up a Cubs fan?
Grew up a Cubs fan, exactly.
Incredible.
I mean, that was the cool thing, because, like, being in Oregon, we'd come home, and the Cubs game would be on, right? A lot of day games, so,
yeah.
Which was awesome. So, yeah, my dad, he was telling me stories. He would take the bus as a kid and go sit in the bleachers. So that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. So, like, there are a few teammates with connections. Matthew Boyd, as I'm sure you know, has a connection, especially with his grandfather and his dad. I was just reading this weekend about PCA's dad, Pete's dad, huge Cubs fan. And Pete was like one of those rebellious.
Really?
Yeah. Give him crap, man. He was one of those rebellious kids who went the other way. He hated. That's not shocking.
I need more dirt on PCA.
I mean, it's hard to find it. It's just. I mean, he's having.
We'll go deep in the archives if we need to.
So Carson Kelly from yesterday, he loves that now he's got some dirt on PCA. He loves that now he can go after him and say, yeah, you weren't a Cubs fan. Your dad was, but you went the other way. Hopefully that'll be part of the arsenal to chop Pete down to size if need be.
No need to chop him down to size. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Gavin Hollowell has been recalled in a corresponding move. Left-handed pitcher Shota Imanaga has been placed on the 15-day injured list with a left hamstring strain.
Hollowell, the right-hander, like a three-quarter delivery. He threw two innings in that big comeback game against the Dodgers. Remember that? Like, it was a Tuesday night or Wednesday night. They came back and won it 11-10, I think, against the Dodgers. Like, Hollowell had kind of a heroic appearance. I think that might have only been his only appearance, and then went back down.
So, and that's probably what will happen here. You bring him up because you need the extra arm, but you don't need a starter because Shota started yesterday. So you bring him up, and if he needs to throw innings for you, he can. And then you can figure out what you're going to do with Shota's place in the rotation.
Yeah, it's interesting. Look at the schedule. They got another off day, mm-hmm. right?
The Cubs it seemed to be a bad thing at the beginning with them starting in Japan.
Exactly.
But they have reaped the benefits of it with all of the extra off days that have just kind of popped up in the first 6 weeks of the season.
So they don't have to use somebody in Shota's spot with the off day. I mean, they've been utilizing that to, like, stretch out Ben Brown so they get an extra day for him because they're kind of saving his innings towards the end of the year. But if they wanted to, they could just go the other three dudes starting today and then off day and then your fourth dude and then restart the engine on Saturday.
Yep.
And you don't need a Shota or Cade Horton or Flexen start until that Marlins series or maybe even the White Sox series. They could just use the four guys all the way through to the White Sox. You could have Cade Horton against the White Sox on Friday the 16th or Saturday the 17th. Crazy.
It buys you time.
Yeah, it does.
And because you've done so well with the season so far and how hard the schedule was, this is great. Like, yeah, this is... It, when you win, it buys you time to make decisions, and some of those decisions can be rough. I like this choice right here. Just like, we'll just kick this down the can a few more days and figure out what we want to do then. Maybe something will materialize. Maybe there is mm-hmm. a trade that's possible, or maybe you can make it to June with all the off days that the Cubs have on what, Thursdays this month. Maybe you can make it till June before you have to really start figuring out who's doing what.
They got four straight Thursday off days.
Yeah.
They could easily just go Flexen and or bullpen
right.
on some of those days if they wanted to. And some of it is the easier part of the schedule with the Marlins, then the White Sox.
And maybe Shota's back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, who knows? You got options. I mean, it sure feels like that kind of demarcation point or inflection point or whatever for Horton. But yeah, they keep stretching this thing out. Mother's Day's coming, man. Mother's Day's coming this week. You ready? make a card? What do you do?
Well, I was thinking about it all yesterday on what to get Mama Holmes. And so she just kind of likes stuff. Like she'll just take stuff like if I were to give her some of the confectionery stuff from Nuts on Clark,
yeah,
she'd be down with that.
Oh, you know, so would my wife.
And just take it.
I got to get the wife a Mother's Day present.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
It always feels like, is this really something the husband should be doing? It's got a little of that in it for me.
Jim Jeffries' joke about that is pretty funny, where he's talking about how when his wife had their baby, and then 6 months in, you know, she was expecting like a Mother's Day gift or whatever. So he wrote the card with his left hand backwards because his kid is 6 months old. He doesn't know anything. You know.
You're doing it for the kid from the kid's perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm out here thinking about it. We've been using it as a demarcation line for the Cubs and not, you know, to
frankly
take care of the mothers in our lives.
That's all it's been for me since the season began. Mother's Day is just, oh yeah, that's when we're going to check back in on where the Cubs are.
But Nuts on Clark left all sorts of stuff.
Outrageous.
So, I mean...
I grabbed the cheese and caramel mix because that's Christine's jam.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, so I think I'll just hold on to that until Mother's Day.
I was thinking of you, baby. Here you go.
Baby, Nuts on Clark did a big food drop at work, and this screamed you.
You should just take that big trash bag full of popcorn out there and take it.
The Benny the Bull popcorn? Hold on. Hold down the floor for a second.
Yeah, dude. Go get it. The Benny the Bull options with that massive bag of popcorn. Lawrence, don't bring it in here. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I don't know whether to trust you or not. I've never seen you with a bag of popcorn that big. The only time
turn down for what?
Yeah, the only time I've ever seen anybody with a bag of popcorn that big, it's been Benny, and it ends up on a kid.
Turn down for what?
Yeah, exactly. That bit never misses, though. It's amazing.
Well, there was the one time he got Haw though, and then Haw got really upset.
Oh, it did? I didn't see that.
I sat in the zone one time, and I had popcorn falling out of my winter coat for like 4 days, tracking it around the apartment. That was the last time I sat in that zone.
Turned down for what?
Man, I need, is there video of David Haw being popcorned by Benny the Bull? I don't know this.
Oh, this is actually open too, so it actually could have
spilled. Yeah,
I thought that the top was.
No, it's just everybody. No, don't come this close.
Why not?
How many arms have been halfway down that popcorn bag?
Speegs, I don't think this has been touched. Look at how.
Hold it.
Yeah, it's like.
Here. It's perfectly.
Look how strong. Firmly packed it is.
Hmm.
I don't think anyone's been there.
All right, I'm scared. I'm nervous just being close to this much popcorn.
Turn down for what?
We're just going to have to eat it.
Grody, what are you doing here? Turn down for what?
You guys want the Haw story?
Yes, please. Thank
real,
you.
Real quick, though, because we do have to talk to Cliff Floyd.
Oh, this is great. Real quick. Basically, he was doing a Bulls playoff game, and he was on deadline and really, you know, hustling. Back when you really had to hustle to get on deadline. And he had Benny the Bull dump the popcorn all over him. So it ruined his moment. It ruined his writing. And that's the genesis of it. Thank you very much.
See? Thank you so much.
He's the scores of Dansby Swanson.
He's everywhere. Dansby Swanson knows everything.
Turn down for what? So we've got the giant bag of popcorn here.
Yeah, it's.
Are you going to take this home?
No. I'm not going to touch that thing.
All right. Well,
it makes me uncomfortable.
I'll put it back in the hallway. When we come back, we are going to talk ball and PCA with Cliff Floyd next here on The Score.
Everyone sing a song about popcorn.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Afternoons on The Score.
I don't know. The biggest question is, when you get it done? Something has to happen where, and I'm not spending nobody's money. I mean, I would like to. But if I had a chance to give him the bag, I'm making sure I do it before the season's over. I'm telling you, he's going to get it.
People have talking about Kyle Tucker, too. So you're talking about a couple Brinks drops there.
If you want to win. If you want to win, that's all I'm saying. So, listen, it's going to cost some money. But, and maybe Kyle's first. I just look at PCA and go, man, these other guys are getting money around the league. And I put him in that same category with the top youngsters in the league right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's quite the argument to be made for what Cliff Floyd is talking about as it pertains to Pete Crow Armstrong. You can watch Cliff on all of the Cubs coverage on Marquee. He does his best. When Cole gives him a bad pun, I'm starting to think that Cliff, like, I'm starting to think Cole, like, writes his stuff down, and he's like, I'm gonna get Cliff with this one. I'm gonna get him with this one. And then you look over and you see Cliff rolling his eyes, and you're like, oh, they're having some fun over there at Marquee. Chicagoland baseball legend, former Cub, our friend Cliff Floyd. Hey, Cliff, how are you?
What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
We're good, man. We're doing really well. I don't know if any of us are doing as well as PCA is doing right now. That young man is off to a great start. What do you think is the biggest reason behind that?
Well, I think first and foremost, my man led his personality show come spring training, right? Like, comes with the blonde hair, the blue stars in the hair. I'm like, okay, this is you. This is a guy that everybody's been waiting on for a minute. And I think that started it. So you get to spring training, you get comfortable, you see your boys. Your boys ain't clowning you, right? They're like, oh, you actually are human. You actually are, you like to have fun and do your thing. And, you know, and so now he's starting to understand the game. The game has slowed down tremendously for him. And then you have a guy like Kyle Tucker to his left and center. And that's the calmest dude I think I've ever seen in my life, right? So I think all those things thrown in, you know, into a bag, you getting started, I think we've been waiting to see.
It's been awesome, man. And it's like, to see certain at-bats, that at-bat against Quintana with the three-run homer the other night where he's fighting off those curves and watching some and then hits the fastball high and outside, pulls that. I'm like, oh, my God. It feels like a different animal. It feels like we're watching a superstar evolving. We knew the power and the speed was there, but when you see at-bats like that, you're like, oh, boy, all bets are off.
That's game-changing. I can't wait to get over it. I'm like, I forget. I'm like, is this dude this big? He's not a big guy, right? So we did a comp the other day, and I was like, man, from the left side, you remember Kenny Lofton had that type of pop?
Yes.
Like Kenny Lofton was, you know, Kenny Lofton had that type of juice. If you go back, and when I used to see Kenny hit some balls to left center gap and hit some balls out and do some things, I'm like, man, Kenny, like, you're like, you know what? I got leverage. I get good leverage. Pete gets good leverage through the baseball. Like, you know, he gets on his backside. So if you look at all these guys, all of them kind of do like a little toe tap. The good one, like Kyle Tucker does a little toe tap. Like some of these guys are doing, you know, some things. I think when Pete sees that, he's like, I think I can do that. And I think he's that good. I think he can do pretty much anything he wants to do, being honest with you. He's a different animal, man, I'm telling you.
We were talking, Cliff, about your career and looking through, because you played with some ballers. And obviously, you were a baller yourself. But, like, do you remember a moment when you looked at a teammate and you're like, oh, my God, this dude is becoming a superstar right in front of my eyes? Like, I'm seeing it all come together. Did that happen at any point in your career that you can think about?
Absolutely, man. So I go all the way back to 90, I'm dating myself, fellas, to 90, to like 93, 94. Mm-hmm. Now, Larry Walker had been in the league for a couple years, but Larry Walker was different. You know what I mean? Like, when Larry Walker touched the field, and he never really overexerted himself, which I thought was even more crazy, Larry Walker was game-changing every time he stepped on the field. And it wasn't just with the bat. If you ever watch how he ran the bases, it was something to see. Like, you can't teach some things. And he had a hose for an arm. He could do anything he wanted to do on the field. He could play hockey. I think he wanted to be a hockey, you know, I think he wanted to play hockey and then decided baseball was just going to be secondary for him. And then the last one is David Wright in New York. David Wright was different. I remember his first day in the league, and I was like, you know, I was like, hey, make time for yourself. You know, some cats, you don't have to tell that much too. They just get it.
See, that's,
and he got it.
That's the thing we were talking about. Like, what does that mean? This is happening for Pete. It's clearly happening for Pete right now. And as a teammate, what's your job when you see a kid like this blowing up as a teammate?
So the biggest thing is, you know, when he falls on his face a little bit, right? You got to be there to pick him up, dust him off. Pick him up, dust him off, say, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, like Matt Shaw goes down. Justin Turner, I'm having a conversation with JT. And I was like, Jay, what's up, man? Is this dude going to, like, figure it out? He goes, he'll figure it out, but he has to get out of his own way. He has to figure out how to get to the point where maybe his batting stance might have to change a little bit. Maybe some things have to move a little bit, but he's going to get it. PCA was able to come up, get a cup of coffee, go home, work on some things. And then he was like, oh, I got this. Like, I can do this every single day. I figured it out. Like, I don't have to, you know, struggle for a long amount of time. I know some pitchers going to get me, going to eat my bat up every once in a while. But tomorrow's a new day. He gets that already.
I love the fact, and you brought up Kyle Tucker, the fact that that guy is in a lineup. When a player like that is in a lineup, what does it do for the rest of the guys in the lineup?
So I think the big thing, we saw this last year, fellas, as well. They chased everything, the whole team, right? They just, you know, pressure situations, they just amp their mind up to say, I got to be the guy. I got to be the guy. I got to do it now. When it's a total opposite for Kyle, like Kyle is very good at taking his base. You know, even when he struggled, he had a little funk right before they went to Milwaukee. He was like 2-for-18, but I don't think anybody noticed it. You know, if you're watching closely, you're like, oh, he's struggling a little bit. So when Kyle is saying, hey, fellas, as a unit, if we put that pitcher in a blender and put us back against the wall, and now he's 3-1, now you're 2-0, now you're 2-1. These are the best counts. You right? That's what we're looking for. Even though the Cubs, when you look at their stats, they actually are hitting bombs. They probably lead the league in hitting homers on 0-2-1-2 counts. So it's just a combination of everything that Kyle has brought with him. And I think, I don't know what the heck happened in Houston. I don't know how you think you can win without him. But I think the Cubs are doing a dang good job of bringing a guy in that they knew could help their dudes consistently from 1 through 9.
I feel like Seiya's a different guy this year because he's watching Kyle. Like, Seiya's he's attacking pitch one and pitch two. I think he did it 3 times yesterday. It didn't work, but I still love to see it. He's going up there. He's hunting, looking to make damage early, isn't he?
Yeah, man. You know what? You pay attention to detail, you know, you get results, right? So, you know, if I'm talking to Seiya, I'm like, hey, bro, you're really good when you take all 3 strikes. Stop letting that 1 strike just go past like it's, you know, like it's just, all right, you know, I'm really that good and I can give you a strike. Go up there and ambush every once in a while. Be that guy, you know, and be aggressive. And you look at the stats, they stare at you right in the face. They ain't no lie. I mean, he's hitting the ball when he has his groove, and this is him in a DH role that he didn't want. You know what I mean? It's not that it had to happen. It's like, hey, Seth, you're gonna DH. You got to get it. And that's a tough role to get, even though he did last year a little bit. It's still something where you have to wrap your head around it and make sure that, you know, you locked in and dialed in to go up there and just get kind of like 4 pinch-hit at-bats.
It's working, though. It seems like the DH thing, like he had so much anxiety out there in right field. You could see it, man. He's got that removed now every night.
I agree. After what happened in Atlanta, right? Like, yes. He was kind of like, you know, he can breathe a little bit. He can focus on some, you know, just hitting, you know, still take some balls in outfield because, like, yesterday, you know, Kyle slides into second base and you're like, uh-oh. You know, but you got a guy who can go out there if you need be and fit right in.
To speak to Cliff Floyd's thought, and you can watch Cliff on Marquee, I'm looking at Kenny Lofton's career numbers.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stupid stuff on here, man.
You see what I'm saying? You that's what I'm saying.
So Kenny Lofton had 130 home runs, okay?
Yes.
He had 116 triples. Yeah. That is absurd.
It is absurd.
That is absurd. And 383 doubles.
Yes. Yes. That's K-Lo. Man, he was like, different, bro.
What? Like,
yeah, man. I'm telling you. And you looked at him like maybe a buck 80 soaking wet. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't a big dude. He has PCA's body type.
So what is Pete doing? Is he sitting back longer than everybody? Is the whole body exploding through the contact point? Like, what do you see?
So we broke him down the other day, right? And I didn't know he was a bad ball hitter. I almost threw him in the Vladimir Guerrero Sr. category the other day. I was like, man, you keep swinging. You know what I'm saying? So I think what he did was he preset himself on his backside. And when you do that, it gives you a little bit more time to recognize the pitch, and then everything else just flows. So now instead of him kind of getting on his backside, he kind of sits there and then taps and makes sure he stays there.
And then
now you're seeing how strong he is. I didn't know. Well, I knew he was strong. I didn't know he was this strong. So I think that's helped him find his power surge as far as going, man, if I stay back here, boy, I can do some damage. And now let's throw some balls in the gaps here and there. If he lays off that high fastball that we've been seeing him swing at, if he lays off that, I'm telling you, fellas, he's going to be in the MVP conversation.
Is that some of that Charlie Lau thing of like sitting back like Dwight Evans used to and Carlton Fisk used to, where all the weight is in the back and they just kind of tap and stay back and then explode through? Is that what he's doing?
That's it. That's what he's doing. And if I keep it as simple as that, you know, and I have talent, that's the game. I think we see so many different things, obviously, in the sport, but less is more. And the less you do, the better you're going to be. It's just the nature of the game. Now, it ain't easy. Don't get it twisted. People are like, well, is that easy? No, it ain't easy. But it's giving you a chance to eliminate the crap that that you see sometimes when guys struggle consistently.
We were talking about the way that this season looked on paper. The start of the season looked really rough. Dodgers are in there. The Padres are in there. The Dodgers again. And then the Dodgers again. The Giants this week. The Mets this week. The Cubs have come out on the really good side of what was a rough schedule. When you were looking at the schedule at the beginning of the season, did you think they would be this good through this point?
I can't lie. No. you're looking at these teams. I mean, these are top teams in the sport, right? Really good pitching. The Padres got the best bullpen in the sport. I didn't know the Kyle Tucker effect would be this good. I knew he was going to be dope. I knew he was top five, and I've said it numerous times. Kyle Tucker's top five in the game. Put his name up there. Look at his numbers the last five seasons. He's top five in the sport. Five tools as well. I didn't know his effect would do what he did in the month of April. I didn't know they would be 11 and I think they won 11 of 20 against the NL West, something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, after traveling to Japan from spring training, like a lot, you could have lost the season in April, in my opinion, and was able to come out of it the way they did and the way they playing right now as one of the best teams in the sport. I'm giving that love to Kyle Tucker, and obviously everybody has done their thing throughout the lineup, the starting rotation, even though you don't have Justin Steele, and hopefully Shota will be back sooner than later. But that bullpen, even though it has been not good at times, I think Craig is starting to find the guys he can get in there and solidify some of these roles.
What do you think it says? Because you said, hey, they could have lost a season in April. They didn't. What do you think it says to the clubhouse that they're thriving with this really tough schedule? And how do you keep yourself from going, oh, now things are going to be easy and you slack off?
Yeah, you don't do that, right? So this is where, and I said it yesterday as we walked off, we got off set. I said, this is when you have guys like Matt Boyd go out there and calm the nerves. Like, hey, we lost shoulder yesterday. We don't know, right? Speculation is that it didn't look good, right? But I'm going to hold down the fort. That's what veterans do. You bring in these guys that allow you to not ever get complacent, but know you got a good team. You stop hoping that you're going to win, and you go out there and know you're going to win. And so that's the difference, and that's championship caliber type baseball. When I've been on teams that have won, it's we expected to win. And then I've been on teams where you're going home in April, we expected to lose. So it's a different mindset, and I think it's manifesting through that whole clubhouse.
I don't know what they're going to do, Cliff. They don't have to use a fifth starter because with all the off days, they don't have to use one. But if they wanted to, do you let a kid like Cade Horton debut on the road away from home in New York against the Mets and Juan Soto, or do you let him debut at home next week against the Marlins or even the White Sox because he got another off day? Like, what's the best thing for a kid making his big debut?
A great question. I mean, he's going to pitch in New York at some point, but I do like the fact that he can drive from Iowa up here, right? And yep. Get here and settle in a little bit. The boys can bring him in a little bit, different than being on the road and chaos in New York and so on and so forth. So I like the idea if he's the guy. You know how they do it. You know how it is with bringing guys up these days. But to your point, you don't have to panic. Right, you don't have to panic. You have off days. You can figure out some things. You can even. I know Jordan Wicks' last start wasn't good down there. Gave up 7 runs his last start, but you got some guys. Drew Pomeranz is here, so you don't have to panic. You just kind of see what Soto's going to be, the timeline with that, and if Horton is your dude, and you get him at the right time because he's pitching phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I would be at home.
Cliff, that cap is money, man. Like that's
appreciate you, man.
That's quality
you know what?
Cap.
I ordered a couple of them because, hey, you don't get to see this too often, right? So every time I'm walking down the street, man, I be seeing people standing there. I'm like, all right, look at me because I'm good looking on my hat.
Both.
I'm just joking.
No, it's got to be both. So what is that? That's Jackie Robinson, old home Brooklyn pinstripes. Is that what that is?
There you go. Right on the money. Yes, sir.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a quality cap from a stylish man. Cliff, as always, appreciate the time, man. Have fun. Tell our guy Cole to hang in there, man. He be giving you the business, man.
When I tell you, bro, like this cat, man, I'm wearing my headphones today. I'm saying, I had enough of you. Appreciate y'all, man.
All right, Cliff, be good, man. That's Cliff Floyd. It was a really fun conversation via text and inside the mob of like comps for like future comps for PCA.
Yeah.
And obviously people were like, yeah, Lofton.
Ichiro? Anybody giving you Ichiro? It's not a fit for me.
Well, Ichiro, because his numbers match so well with Lofton's.
Oh, right.
Right?
But Ichiro had so much back control and was happy to slap and kabunt and all that, but he did have power. Like a little guy with power is what's interesting.
Chase Utley's name has come up a little bit. People are mentioning Curtis, and I really, Curtis Granderson, and I really want people to understand, Curtis hit a lot of home runs.
He hooked up with a hitting coach who is the same guy who helped Kyle Schwarber kind of save and transform his career. And Curtis, I forget the dude's name. I always forget his name. He was a Yankee hitting Kevin something. But he helped Curtis transform and become a power guy.
Curtis had a season where he hit 43 home runs. Okay. Curtis had 344 home runs in his career. To put that in perspective, Kyle Schwarber right now is at, 258? And we think of him as home run hitting guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Curtis turned into that guy. Kevin Long is the guy I'm thinking about. Kevin Long helped Curtis transform as a Yankee, and he helped Kyle Long transform in Washington, that little period when Kyle was in Washington before he went to Boston and then to Philly.
You'd be more than happy if PCA turns into Curtis Granderson, but I think that... I think the Lofton comp is a little bit better with a little bit more pop, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. Like Lofton, but with pop is a really good, that's a dream comp. I had never connected it until he talked about it to the Walt Hriniak, Charlie Lau. Like George Brett did it too, staying way back and then just exploding all your weight forward.
A lot of the old school guys, like what we were talking about last week. Back hip through the ball.
Uh-huh.
That's
But a lot of guys like set up with weight even, and then go back to come forward. He's talking about how Pete just starts back and stays back and uses the toe tap just to keep himself back with balance.
Get that momentum going forward and hit the ball.
It's working.
Back after this on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It's LeVar Ball.
What's good, Triple B, big baller staff? You guys go do your thing. I love your staff.
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, quick correction. I said 258, and I don't know why I said that. It's 295 for Kyle Schwarber.
He'll get to 400. I don't know.
I think maybe 450. He's got an outside shot at 450.
He's got a shot of 500 if he.
I mean, everything has to go right.
I know, but he's just such
everything
a beast.
Has to go right.
I love the baseball conversation with Cliff Floyd. We get to have another one with Steve Stone later on next hour.
But next up, we're going to talk Bears. I missed something on Friday, apparently, that the boys wanted me to check out. We'll do that next here on The Score.